standing at the popcorn counter, and I gotta say, Jimmy, last time we saw the Beau is Afraid thing, long.
Right.
I hope the film that you're taking me to tonight is not going to be as long as Beau is Afraid. Because Beau got boring. He wasn't afraid. Beau was boring after about 2 hours.
Beau was over long.
So
whenever we argue about what film we're going to go and see,
yeah,
it always comes down to running time, isn't it? And I remember, you know, when we were young, long running time was good because you felt like you got your money's worth. Whereas the older you get, the shorter the running time, the better, isn't it? Oh, I'm really looking forward to these really short running time films.
Yes.
There used to be a section on Netflix called something like 90 Minutes or Less.
Ooh.
I don't know whether that section still appears, but that's what we would always gravitate to of an evening. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I think a film needs a really good reason to be longer than 110 minutes.
110. So that's hour 50.
An hour and 50.
Yeah.
I think you need to really convince me why your film is any longer than that.
Thank you. Can I tell you a rule, and the origin of a rule that I have is that I have a 2 hour rule, basically.
2 hour rule. I'll buy that.
I will see more or less anything up to 2 hours. But to go 1 minute, 1 second beyond 2 hours, I need to have some reviews from people I trust. Generally, and I've got to say, I've broken that rule quite a bit lately on the pod because we've seen some long films lately. But it all goes back to this. It was a French film about Marcel Proust from 1999.
Oof!
And I remember almost dying of boredom in the theater, and I would not leave because I don't like to leave films, but I should have left, and that's what gave me the 2 hour rule. And the irony here is that the name of that film was called Time Regained. And the reason I have the 2 hour rule is because I will never regain certain hours that I've watched, lost to movies that I've watched when I should have been watching them. But my rule has, when you think about it, it's probably reclaimed countless minutes since I initiated this rule. And for this pod, I went back just to look at the running time of Time Regained. It is 2 hours and 49 minutes, which I would never go see a film like that unless it was one for the pod or two, something I'd heard a lot about from people I trust or from reviewers I trust. So that's my 2 hour rule. I'm going to stick to it.
It's still considerably shorter than Avatar: The Way of Water.
That's right. Though. Yeah, yeah. I know.
I did do a bit of research for this week. So I was wondering how short can a feature film be? Do you know, so the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has a rule about how long a film must be for it to qualify as a feature film. Do you know what the rule says?
What's
the shortest length that a film can be?
I'm going to say 80 minutes. Is it 75?
You would be wrong.
Oh.
The Academy says that it must be 40 minutes or longer.
For a feature? That's all?
For a feature film, 40 minutes.
Oh my
unbelievable,
God.
Isn't it?
That is unbelievable.
The British Film Institute says the same thing, 40 minutes. The Screen Actors Guild says that a film must be 60 minutes long to be a feature.
Yeah.
So there is no rule that says that a feature has to be, you know, 3¾ hours long. Oh, interestingly, God. The definition I like the best is the French definition of a feature film.
Mm-hmm.
So the Centre National de la Cinématographie, oh, terrible French,
nice,
says that a feature film, it can only be a feature film if it is 5,200 feet long of 35mm film. That is the definition of a feature film, and apparently that works out at 58 minutes and 29 seconds.
Oh, my God.
But I do like the idea of how long is the film? Well, it's 5,200 feet. That's what they should be putting in the little guide in the newspaper.
They take it quite literary. I should say literally.
Do you remember, and for your sake, I hope you don't, there was a terrible Sylvester Stallone movie out in the 80s, which I ended up being duped into seeing with some friends who really wanted to go and see this film. I think some of them had already seen it once and should have known better. This film called Cobra.
Okay. No.
Directed by George Cosmatos. I remember at the time, it's just a terrible film. Great leaps of logic. None of it really makes very much sense. It's a simple story, and even that doesn't make sense. And I only remember two things about it, which is that Sylvester Stallone drives this very improbable car with tiny windows.
Mm.
And I was struggling. How do you even see out of that car? How can you? What are you doing? And the other thing is that the guy who is the bad guy, the antagonist, has this extremely complicated knife. It's the only two things I remember about the film. But the critics at the time were all kind of saying, oh, this film is a rip-off. It's barely 70 minutes long. This is ludicrous. I researched it, and the IMDb version says that it's 87 minutes long. Ooh. And I suspect that there was a UK version that was so heavily cut, it was 17 minutes shorter than the than the normal accepted American theatrical version. Oh. There was an awful lot of violence and not very much else in the film. So looking back, actually, probably that was that was a real gift to the UK cinema. Going,
probably a better film for being 17 minutes.
Yes, really better. But they managed to cut out those remaining 70 minutes. It would have been even better still.
It reminds me of a film that we saw. Oh, I don't think you had to see it, so I did see it at London Film School. There was a recent graduate was screening his feature film, and all of a sudden at the end of the film. It's not a very good film, but at the end of the film, the credits started going very, very slowly. And he sort of admitted after in the discussion piece that question and answer spot, he said, yeah, he needed it to be a certain length to be entered into festivals. And that's why the credits ran very slowly, but it was painful. It was because obviously it was not a long film. I think it was about a 72 or 73 minute film. It probably had to hit 80 minutes, so it was 8 minutes of credits, even though 12 people worked on the film. So all the names went by; they all had plenty of space, and it went very slowly.
I just like to imagine that after a while, people were getting their name come around again.
Yeah.
Thank them again.
Oh boy.
So we both agree that shorter is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, shorter is better. If you can do it in less time, then do it less time.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking, if only there was some way to objectively compare these short feature films to figure out which was the best. But luckily, with using a little bit of maths on the back of an envelope, I think we can. We can use the TRCCSS.
Oh.
This is the Two Real Cinema Club scoring system.
Oh.
Okay. So what you do is you find out, you add up three numbers, you add up how much shorter than 90 minutes the film is.
Mm, okay.
And you add together the IMDb rating, and then our own ranking out of 10, and you get a score. So for that, Cobra... Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna go with the IMDb length of 87 minutes. It would get three points for length because it's 3 minutes shorter than 90 minutes. It would get 5.8, which seems like the excessively generous IMDb rating. And it would get, I'm being generous, 3 for me. So that gives us a total of 11.8, just under 12. Not good, I think. So if we use that as our touchstone,
okay.
I have got a short list here of some of my favorite short feature films.
Okay.
We'll see how they compare with Cobra. We'll see whether my scoring system works. If it turns out that all of them are worse than the Sylvester Stallone film Cobra, then I know I need to rethink the back of my envelope. Shall I go first?
I'm a bit confused by the third score. The third score is what we give out of what?
Out of 10.
Out of 10. Like, how good a film is it out of 10? Okay.
And I haven't seen your list, actually, so I know you've prepared a list. So there is a chance we might have the same films on it. I don't know. So let's find out. So the first film on my list is a short film about love. It's even got short film in the title.
Oh, wow.
How can you lose?
Not on my list. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Not thank God for that. So that's a Kieslowski film, isn't it?
Is it?
Which I've seen twice. There's an even shorter version, which was made for TV as part of his Decalogue cycle. And then they expanded that to form a feature-length film that kind of went around European cinemas.
I love the Decalogue, but those were all 60 minutes or less, I believe.
Yeah, so this is an extended version of two of those, which became a short film about love and a short film about killing.
Oh.
Short film about love, I think, is the better of the two. It is a terrific film.
Okay.
It comes in at 87 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So that's got three points, is that correct?
So it scores 3. IMDb score is 8.1.
Ooh, wow,
so it must be pretty good. So it's already scored nearly as much as Cobra. I'm going to give it my personal score of 8.
Mm.
And now There's going to be a bit of tapping and typing, which we will editing out using the miracle of digital editing.
Okay.
And I'll figure out what the actual score is.
Okay.
So we go 8 + 8 = 16, yeah. + 3 = 19, 19.1.
Wow.
19.1. That's a high scoring film. Okay. Bring me your best.
I'm going to
see if you can beat that.
I'm going to start with High Noon from 1950.
High Noon,
which is 85 minutes, so I think that gets 5 points. Is that correct?
Yeah.
IMDb is 8.
Right, okay.
And then my score, I agree with IMDb on this one, so I'm going to say another 8. So that's 8 and 8 is 16 plus 16. 5. 16? 21.
21. Okay, oh, you got me beat already. Okay.
All right.
High Noon. High Noon is definitively, clearly, obviously a better film than a short film about love.
Me.
We've proven it with maths. No one can argue with that.
I haven't seen a short film about love, but I love Kieslowski. I'm a big Decalogue fan. I've watched that thing 3 times at least.
See, I think a short film about love is his best film. Oh,
okay,
actually.
Good. Well, it just went on my list. Don't be surprised if I'm talking about that at what's playing in this theater.
You're lucky if you can find that playing at the cinema near you.
Yep.
Okay, my second film. Studio Ghibli film, My Neighbor Totoro. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, man. So I think this is my favorite film about, I think it's the best film about the topic that it's dealing with, which is the life of preschool children, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's about like the world as it appears to a preschool child.
Yeah.
It's a fairly simple story about a family who move out into the country in Japan. Their kind of enormous garden is, well, I don't know whether you say it's haunted or inhabited by a kind of an animal spirit called a Totoro, which is like an enormous kind of enormous friendly monster.
Oh.
It's a really beautiful film, actually. It's really, really outstanding.
Nice.
Animated film. It scores 8.1 at IMDb, and it's 86 minutes long. Brisk. That's the right kind of length you want for a film about childhood.
Yeah.
I am going to give it a 9. Ooh. It's a real favorite for me.
Tie.
So we have 9 plus 8, and that's 17, plus 4, that's 21 as well,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, it's 21.1 because IMDb gives it 8.1.
Ooh.
So it's very slightly better than High Noon,
yeah.
My Neighbor Totoro.
Ooh. Wow. All right.
Who knew?
New first place. Wow, an exchange of leads.
What do you got next?
Okay, my next is Aguirre, Wrath of God by our friend Werner Herzog.
Right. I'm so glad you have said the title of that out loud, because I would not have the confidence to pronounce it out loud. So it's Aguirre.
I think
not
so.
Aguirre, Wrath of God, which is what I always saw.
I think a lot of people say Aguirre, Wrath of God. Here's a little aside. I've got a good buddy grew up with who is named Maguire. Married a German woman, and the Germans couldn't say his name, and they pronounced it Maguire, 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 again and again. So I think it's Aguirre, and incidentally, he decided to change his name to his wife's last name, so he's now Bo. Because that's easier than Maguire, Maguire. The Wrath of God runs 90 minutes, so you're getting no points.
Oh, zero. Okay.
IMDb has it as a 7.8.
Right.
So we're starting with 7.8 points. I love Herzog, but I think everything he's done is a little bit overrated, so I can't get a 7.8. I'm going to make it an even 7.
7.
So I think it's 14.8, which is not going to get 8. That film very far at all, but everyone should watch it. It's a classic, and it's not that long, which is, you know, surprising.
All I know about that film is the cover of the DVD release in the UK has a picture of a man in a helmet lying on the ground. That is the sum total of my knowledge.
Oh, God.
Are you able to summarize the story of Aguirre, Wrath of God in one sentence?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's about a bunch of conquistadors who go to – it's in Peru. They actually it's not far from where Machu Picchu is, I think. So I guess the Cusco area of Peru. And they're just there to, you know, conquer the natives and get wealthy. And Klaus Kinski is fantastic because he's just a nut job, and he sort of takes control of this entire troop of soldiers going through and clearing it out of humans and animals and jungle, and ends up just becoming so evil that he ends up more or less alone on the boat with his daughter and having terrible thoughts about the future and how he was going to repopulate the land with Europeans.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. It's wonderful. It's very, very good film. And not that long, 90 minutes, but great scenery. You know, feels pretty good. I think it'd be interesting to see a film like that remade, because I think the period stuff would probably be more accurate and better costuming and all that. But great film.
Yep. That was literally a one sentence summary, and already I feel kind of sullied and dirty and weird about it.
Yes, I think it's honest. It's a very honest film, but not easy to watch, but good.
Okay, my third film, yeah. Shouldn't leave you feeling sullied or dirty, but it is weird. It's Primer, the time travel film,
yeah.
Debut of Shane Carruth. 77 minutes.
Yeah.
Famously made for $7,000.
Yeah.
And I think, if you believe the stories, he shot 86 minutes of footage.
Wow.
And ended up with a 77-minute feature. And apparently, if you listen very, very carefully, you can hear him say cut during some shots in the final edit, because
probably
he had so little footage to play with.
It's an interesting film, because one of the ways he saved money was there's not a lot of direct dialogue spoken on camera. You hear a lot of things like it's actually the listeners on camera, and then the dialogue of the speaking actor is actually probably re-recorded somehow or added in editing. Or they hide faces a little bit. It's shot from an angle where you can't tell if they're speaking or not. So they saved money on audio, because audio can get very expensive and it's complicated to try and fix. So I think very intelligently done.
Clever. It's getting a lot out of a little, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, its 77-minute runtime gives me a massive 13 score.
Wow.
IMDb puts it at 6.8, and that's probably not a million miles away from the right score. Okay. I'm going to give it a 7. I probably used to rate this film higher, and we watched it again about a year ago with the children. I remember telling them, it's a great time travel film.
Yeah.
You know, got to watch this. And it's brain-bending.
Yeah.
But you're not entirely narratively successful. So I'm going to give it a 7. There's a lot to enjoy here, but everything is not golden. And now I'm going to have a maths failure. 13 plus 7 is 20, which gives us a score of 26.8.
I think that's the new leader, is that right?
It is the new leader. So actually, in fact, it is a much better film than I thought. I've just proven it with science.
Wow.
Okay.
Scientifically proven to be a better film. I like that. I do remember it fondly. I thought it was sort of inspirational in the sense that I was trying to make films on the cheap at the same time, and I thought, ooh, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, we should do a podcast about a popcorn counter about inspirational films. Yeah, actually, yeah,
definitely. Don't tell the listeners. Don't tell the listeners, and don't talk so loudly in the theater. Someone's gonna steal our idea right here at the popcorn counter.
What's your third film?
Rushmore.
Rushmore, yes.
I think it's my favorite Wes Anderson by far. But 90 minutes. I'm not getting any ground made up on my length.
Man, you're picking long films. Yeah.
Rushmore is a 7.6, which I think I'm going to say that's a little underhyped. I'm going to go with an 8. So it's at 15.6, which is definitely not a contender in this competition.
The thing I most remember about Rushmore is that wonderful joke, which we often quote in our house, where the boyfriend, I think, has turned up to this very overambitious school play.
Yeah.
And the main character is kind of really jealous of him. And he's like a doctor or whatever, or a nurse, something like that. So he's turned up in these scrubs from the OR. And one of the characters asks him, you know, what is that you're wearing? And he says, oh, they're OR scrubs. And the guy who asked him the question says, oh, are they? It's just so kind of so sarcastic. I commonly use exactly that delivery and that line at home and at work.
That's good.
My fourth film is, I think this is probably going to be a winner, purely on numerical grounds, is Following, which is the first Christopher Nolan feature, also made for almost nothing. I think shot in black and white on Super 16.
Yep.
Very clever, probably too clever, labyrinthine thriller, which goes backwards and forwards through the narrative.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like the prototype of Memento.
Yep.
comes in at a very slim 69 minutes.
Oof.
So that's still a feature, according to the Academy and the BFI. And even the French Institute of Cinematography, it's well over 5,200 feet, but it is only 29 minutes. So it gets 69 minutes.
Yeah.
So it gets 21 points
wow.
on length. IMDb gives it 7.5, ooh. Pretty generous.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a Two Real Cinema Club score of 7 as well. It's a good film, but maybe not quite as clever as it thinks it is.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, 14 plus 21
oof.
Is maths failure, 35.5.
Oh.
So I say it's not a great film, but actually it's miles ahead. It's numerically the best film we've had so far. Can you beat that with your fourth picture?
No.
So thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I need to even mention it. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, you've got to tell me what it is, though. I can't see over your shoulder from here.
Kurosawa's Rashomon.
Oh, Rashomon.
Which is 88, so it gets you 2 points there. IMDb of 8.2, so you're at 10.2. I think it is worth maybe 9. I think it's underrated.
I think it maybe is, you know.
So you're still just under 20, though. Or no, you're at 21. 8.2?
It's 19.2, isn't it?
It's 19, 19.2.
19.2.
That's actually, So, boy, I guess I didn't do very well on this one, but there's some good films, yeah.
I can't believe that a Kurosawa film, Rashomon, the great classic, but it's numerically been proven to be...
inferior.
The only film it's better than is Rushmore.
it's a loser.
So there we go. Yeah. We've finally proven it. The greatest... film under 90 minutes of all time is Following by Christopher Nolan. So everybody rush out and see that.
Wow.
I think we've spent nearly 90 minutes trying to figure out this ridiculous numerical score that I've come up with, actually.
And probably preventing a lot of popcorn from being purchased with all this paper and calculators and mathematics here on the counter.
You're right, the man wants his pen back. We should probably let him have his pen back.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's go and see Following. And thankfully, we can probably see it twice or maybe even three times in the duration of going to see the next Avatar film.
That's
true. Let's do that. We'll see Following three times.
All right, here we go.